Talk to me.
Welcome back to On the Homestretch with your host, Debbie Allen.
Still to come on today's show, getting older but not heeding the numbers. We'll talk with a neat woman who is just doing fascinating things. Okay, but here's from The Gift of Sex. Okay, it's a book by Clifford and Joyce Penner. It's a guide to sexual fulfillment. Dr. Guerin, it says to get the most out of sex, you need to sort through the sexual information and attitudes you've accumulated over the years. What does that mean, and how do you do that?
Well, I think step one in talking about sexuality with your partner is to create a time and a space to do that, when you're not going to be interrupted, when you can be relaxed, when you are calm, when the television is turned off. The worst time to talk about sex is when you've had a bad experience, or when you're tired, or when you're frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
But I think just to express your desire to talk honestly with your partner about your sexual relationship is opening the door to probably some interesting information. And this is true of couples in my office who've been together for 30, 40, sometimes 50 years, who, as they're encouraged to talk together, learn things about each other and about themselves that are fascinating.
And we're talking with Dr. David Yerian, who's a licensed clinical psychologist and a certified sex therapist in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's talking about things like how to even increase your sex drive if, as a woman, you're struggling with that. Of course, we think of that as a woman, but I guess anybody can struggle with that.
Absolutely. That's the number one reason for a referral to a sex therapist is low desire. So it's a very common issue that people face, men and women. It's important to be medically checked out, to talk with your doctor, probably have your testosterone levels checked, and that's true for both men and women. But also things like depression, things like anxiety can interfere with desire. If there's unresolved conflict in your relationship, that certainly interferes with desire. If you are frazzled and stressed beyond imagining, that certainly interferes with desire. Most couples notice that when they have a weekend away in a hotel or on vacation, that their sex life is better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are fewer distractions. There's less stress. But I also think that truth is the most powerful aphrodisiac. And
what do you mean by that?
What I mean is that speaking from your heart to the person you love ultimately results in most cases in feeling closer, in feeling more relaxed, and you know that sets the stage for greater intimacy.
Hmm. And along those veins, thinking of the honest kind of relationship, to be able to look into a person's eyes instead of always closing your eyes, is there something to that? I mean, we read in a book the other day that the human species is the only species, I guess, that have face-to-face sex.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard for me to open my eyes, and actually, it's almost like it's too powerful to look into my husband's eyes.
Yeah. Well, learning to tolerate intensity is part of learning to experience greater and greater pleasure. And many of us kind of short-circuit the intensity by closing our eyes or distracting ourselves or thinking of something else. But I encourage people to breathe slowly and deeply and to make eye contact and to speak softly together to really connect with your partner, soul to soul, heart to heart, as well as body to body.
After talking about things like this all day long, do you and your wife have a great sex life?
Well,
or are you like the cobbler who has no shoes?
Well, it's an interesting profession to have. And actually, it's a privilege to talk with people about these very intimate matters in a confidential setting. And it deepens my appreciation for the miracle that our sexuality is.
You were just like a presidential candidate. You dodged that question very effectively.
We have a wonderful sex life. How's that?
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I was just curious. It's like sometimes you look up and you wonder sometimes about your pastor, or you wonder about your parents, you know?
Yeah.
But things like that, you just need to leave alone.
Well, we're all human. We're all
yeah.
human.
All right, are there ways to increase our intimacy? Besides like some of the stuff you were talking about, what are other ways, non-typical ways that you wouldn't think about?
I think kindness goes a long way. Being thoughtful, washing the dishes.
Somebody said that's the greatest foreplay ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of going, if not the extra mile, an extra step or two. Reaching out, being friendly. Signaling to your partner that you value them. You know, all these things we do in the early days of a relationship, when we're courting or falling in love with someone, and after a while, routine can set in, and you can tell in a restaurant who's been together for a long time, they're often not looking at each other.
Yeah, not
and you
talking.
Can tell who's just dating because, you know, their eyes are locked into each other's eyes. So I think really just paying attention goes a long way.
That's a good reminder. That's hard to do if you've been together a long time.
Yeah.
Are there good books? I mean, I mentioned this book, and I know that you are into self-help books. I saw on your website that you like that, Books 4, the number 4, selfhelp.com. Books4selfhelp.com. What kinds of books do you recommend on sex?
That website is a website I put together because there are many, many self-help books out there, and people often struggle to find out what's the most useful self-help book. It can be overwhelming. So I've recommended self-help books in 46 different categories. And so with regard to sexuality, there's a section on women's sexual health, men's sexual health, sexuality. There's a section on intimate relationships, and there's a section on tantra. And each of these sections has, a collection of 10 to 20 books with small book reviews to help people make a selection that really fits for them.
You know, when you say tantra, I've always wondered what that was.
I think the shortest way to define it is a meditative approach to sexuality.
Hmm.
And it's very much about the breath. It's about moving energy throughout the body. It's about being connected to your partner. Body, heart, soul, mind, spirit, in all ways. And the goal is to experience all the senses to the fullest and to allow the intensity to rise higher and higher. In fact, many tantric practitioners, males, do not have orgasm by choice and are able to maintain a love-making connection with their partner for a long time. And so it's a very mindful and meditative approach to experiencing both the depths and the heights of sexual experience.
That sounds beautiful. I know you have to protect the confidentiality, of course, of clients and stuff, but can you share some personal stories about women who are really enjoying sex in their 40s and beyond?
All right. I spoke with someone a year or so ago who was describing to me his relationship. This was a man in his 70s. His relationship with his girlfriend, who was 82.
Aww.
And they were making love two or three times a week for long periods of time.
Wow.
And it sounded delightful. And he was thrilled to have found this woman to be part of his life. So,
gosh, that's beautiful.
You know,
encouraging too.
We think that as people age, sexuality goes out the window. There's absolutely no reason for that to be the case.
Nice. Hey, Dr. David Yerian, I've enjoyed talking with you today. He's a licensed clinical psychologist and a certified sex therapist in Nashville. Again, that website he's put together is called books4selfhelp.com. And these are self-help books that he refers on particular issues. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Debbie.